The Fullness of Time, Chapter 2. We have told you many interesting histories from the Old Testament, haven't we? We told you of the creation, the first world, the flood, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, the judges, the kings. We won't mention any more, for there are too many. Throughout all those histories, we saw that God reigned. Nations and people were governed by him. But the Lord watched especially over the Jewish nation. The Lord protected them against all the mighty enemies who attacked them. God continually helped them and always gave them deliverance. For what reason? Because the Israelites were such good people? Because they were worthy of it? Oh, come now, we know better than that, don't we? Of all the nations which existed in the world at that time, the Lord had the most grief from the Jewish nation. They continually incensed and offended their God. Again and again they forsook him and made themselves other gods, idols which they worshipped. Sometimes the entire land was filled with idol sanctuaries. Why did God reign and help the Jewish nation throughout the centuries, and also bless and watch over them? Because the Lord had made a covenant with that people. God gave that nation his laws and decrees. The best and richest promises were given to that nation. The King of Kings, who is the Savior, would be born from that nation. The Lord made that promise, and it would be fulfilled. God never breaks his promises. Alas, we often do. The time for the promised Messiah to come finally arrived. He was a long time in coming, but he did come. All people have sinned against the living God. All people are disobedient. And punishment must follow disobedience. Thus all people must be punished. God must punish sin, because he is righteous. The animals did not sin, no, but we did. Because of our sins, the curse of God also rests upon the brute creatures. That is our fault. The whole creation groans because of our sins. O children, did you ever think of that? Never tease or torture any animal, for they never have done any wickedness. Every person has sinned, without one exception. Thus God must punish every person for his sins. Must every person enter into eternal damnation? Most likely you will answer, no. God's people do not go to hell. The sins of God's people are forgiven. But how is that possible? Can we say the Lord does not punish the sins of his people? That is a difficult question, isn't it? Probably you cannot give that question an answer. Then give me your attention. The sins of God's people are punished. God punishes all sins without exception. But the sins of a regenerated person are punished in another. For that reason, the Lord Jesus has become man. The Lord Jesus has borne the punishment in the place of his people. The Lord Jesus was punished, and now God's people are forever free from their punishment. The Lord Jesus received the strokes which they deserved. For that reason, he came and was laid as a small child in a manger. For that reason, he died the cursed death upon the cross. And why did he do this? Because he loves his people. You see, children, for that reason the Son of God came into the world, And for that reason, he took upon himself our human nature. I know that this really is too difficult for you. Later, you will be able to understand this better, but probably you can understand a little of it. Before we begin to tell you about the birth of the Savior, I want to tell you how the people lived upon the earth at that time. Give me your attention, because this portion is also difficult. The large city of Rome was in Italy, far away from Jerusalem. Rome was a beautiful city. The most splendid palaces and temples were built there. The emperor of the Roman Empire lived in one of the largest palaces. His name was Octavius. But this name was not good enough for him. No, he must have another name. Therefore, he gave the command that in the future he must be called Augustus and not Octavius. Augustus means exalted or consecrated. From now on, he must be honored as a god. The priests must burn incense to him as unto a god. The Romans reigned over nearly the entire world. The mighty kingdom of Babylon was no longer in existence. The Persian kingdom was defeated and wiped out. The Romans reigned over all those countries. Canaan was also a part of this mighty monarchy. And Caesar Augustus was the ruler over those millions of people. They all were his subjects. Formerly, when there were so many different kingdoms, there were wars almost continuously. Didn't the Israelites have to fight many times against the Philistines, the Moabites, and the Syrians? And when there are wars, the roads and highways are not safe. Large armies would march through the land. They would destroy and ruin everything. But when Augustus reigned, there were no wars. Peace prevailed over the entire world. No one would dare wage war against the Romans, because he would be conquered. And later, when the disciples of the Lord Jesus went out to preach the gospel in all places, they could travel from one city to another unhindered because peace prevailed. The Roman emperors built extensive roads in many places, and it was safe on those roads at that time. God's servants also could use those roads. If we travel to a foreign country, we find most inhabitants in those countries cannot understand us. We speak in our language, and they speak in theirs. People of the Netherlands speak Dutch. People of France speak French, etc. In a word, each country has its own language, and usually the people only understand their own language. But during the reign of Augustus, this was not so. The millions of people who were subject to him understood the Greek language. All of them did not speak the Grecian language, but they all could understand it. Let me give you an example. In the Netherlands, the people who live in Zeeland speak with a different dialect from the people of Friesland, and the people who live in Groningen have another dialect or accent. Nevertheless, they all understand the Dutch language. So you see, that is the way it was in the time of the Roman Empire. This also made it very easy in later years when the gospel was preached in all places. Weren't the people very well off in those days? No, children, they were not. Why weren't they? What was lacking? Alas, heathendom reigned everywhere. Temples with stone idols were erected everywhere, and the heathen priests who walked through every city or town offered sacrifices to those idols. But the priests did not believe in those idols. They knew that they were really deceiving the people. Many people did not believe in those idols. Oh yes, they did go to the temples of the idols, but they did not mean anything by it. With all their wealth and prosperity, they still were not satisfied. They sought for something else. Their desire was for something better. What did they want? What must take place? They did not know the answer, but conditions couldn't remain the way they were, for lying and deceiving prevailed everywhere. The wickedness continually became greater. The people lived in the greatest of sins, and there was no one who could change it. There was no one who could help them. Since the rise of the Roman Empire, millions of Jews did not live in their own country. Multitudes lived scattered over the entire world. They lived in every country. Many thousands of Jews lived in Egypt, in Greece, in Asia Minor, yes, and even in Rome, the capital. They did journey to Jerusalem for the great feasts, and there celebrated the Passover and Pentecost. But when those feasts were passed, they would return to their own homes in the foreign countries. Still, those dispersed Jews were no heathens. No, they worshipped the God of heaven and earth, the one and only true God. Certainly, most of them only worshipped the Lord outwardly, but they did not worship Him uprightly or with their whole heart. They did not kneel before the idols. And do you know what those dispersed Jews did? They told everyone that their God was the only true and living God. But they also told that one day the Lord Jesus would be born. Then millions of those heathens would become jealous of the Jewish people, because they realized that this was the truth. Almost unnoticed, without realizing it themselves, those heathens began to look forward to this unknown Redeemer, to this unknown King. Oh, probably life then would be much better. Boys and girls, this was the life of many heathens. They were no longer satisfied with their idol worship. Secretly, they hoped that the Redeemer, who would be born in the Jewish country, would help them. Thus it came to pass, when the disciples began to preach sometime later, that many thousands of heathens accepted Christianity. Now let us go look in the land of Canaan itself. What was the attitude of the Jews who lived there? Did they desire the coming of the Redeemer? Did they expect the Messiah? After the Babylonian captivity, the Jews did not worship idols. They worshipped idols before that time, but not afterwards. No, they diligently read the laws which God had given them. Some Jews carefully studied the Scriptures and the book of the law of the Lord. They were learned men. Therefore, they were called scribes. Do you know what they did? They taught the people. In many cities and villages, they had church buildings. They were called synagogues. Each Sabbath, the Jews went to the synagogue to receive instruction from the scribes. A portion of Scripture was read to them, for instance, from the books of Moses or Joshua or from one of the prophets, for in those days they had all these books of the Bible of the Old Testament. They were not printed the same as we have them today. They were written on large rolls of parchment. The scribes taught the people the histories of former days, but they also pointed out to them the promises of God. They would tell them that the Messiah, the Son of David, would come. But then they would tell them that the Lord Jesus would come to deliver them from the Romans. This great king would destroy the Roman armies, and he would become king over the Jewish nation. They again would live in peace and prosperity as the Jewish nation formerly did under the reign of David and Solomon. The Messiah would establish an earthly kingdom and nothing more. All this was not right. They did not teach the people that the Lord Jesus would come to redeem his people from their sins, and that he would suffer and die. No, they did not think that was necessary. As long as the Romans were driven out, it would be sufficient. Then they would be happy and satisfied. In this way, the Jews began to believe that the Lord Jesus would be a mighty earthly king. Of course, the Jewish people also desired the coming of the promised Redeemer. Why? Then the hated Romans, whom they disliked so much, would be driven away. They again would be free as in former days. From this we can see how incorrectly the Jewish people were taught and instructed. Pitiful. In this way the people were deceived. And when the Lord Jesus came, there was no place for him among his own people, because they had expected him to come in a different way from what he did. Before I close this chapter, I must tell you something else. A little later, when we begin to relate the histories of the New Testament, we will hear much about Pharisees. Who are they? The following is an illustration. A dignified man is slowly walking through the streets of Jerusalem. He walks in the center of the street so that everyone can see him. The people passing him must greet him with respect. They make a deep bow. When this man comes to the corner of the street, he suddenly stands still. He stretches his hands upward and prays. A half hour later, he still stands there. Oh, this must be a pious man, because praying is a good work. Is he a pious and godly man? It seems so, but he is not. What sort of man is he? Boys and girls, he is a Pharisee. Pharisees were people who lived very piously as far as it appeared outwardly. They read a great deal in the books of the Old Testament. They prayed much in the temple, also in the center of the street, or at the corners of the houses. Wasn't that good? Weren't they permitted to do that? Alas, they didn't do it to the honor of God. They only did it to receive honor to themselves. They hoped that many people would see them, and they became proud and haughty because of their prayers. If anyone looked at them, they would flush with gladness. But would this kind of praying be answered by the Lord? What do you think? No, it wouldn't, for that is not true prayer. The Pharisees thought they could earn heaven. They thought the Lord Jesus would give them heaven as a reward. Those pious Pharisees had no need of a Savior. No, they could earn salvation. For this reason, the Pharisees were the greatest enemies of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus taught that man is dead in sins and transgressions. He taught that all mankind lie lost in their state of death. But he also revealed to the people that he came to atone for their sins and that he came to make his people alive. Yes, he taught them that they could be saved by grace. Thus, not that they themselves could earn salvation, but that it would be by grace only. Still, the Pharisees did not want this, neither did they believe it. They would have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. They hated him. Poor, poor Pharisees. They did not see how they were deceiving themselves and the people. They did not realize that their hearts were deceitful and wicked, and that their hearts had to be renewed by the Spirit of God. You also shall hear about the sect of the Sadducees. They were another group of Israelites. Did they pray? No, they never prayed. They would rather eat and drink delicious things and celebrate feasts. They did not believe there were angels or devils. Neither did they believe that all the dead shall rise again. No, when a person died, he was dead, completely dead. Thus, according to them, people were the same as the beasts. Therefore, the Sadducees said, "Let us have pleasure and be merry in this life, because heaven and hell do not exist." Don't you think that terrible? We know better, don't we? In the Bible, we do read that there is a resurrection from the dead. Also, that there is a heaven and a hell. In the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus shall come on the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. The Sadducees were mistaken. They were wrong. They experienced this when death came, and they opened their eyes in hell. The last day, which is the judgment day, will come for them too. But for them it shall be a dreadful day. They shall regret that they were so foolish, but it will be too late. They will never be able to rectify it. The most distinguished priests belonged to the party of the Sadducees. There also were a few thousand Essenes in the Jewish nation. They were somewhat like monks. They would not live among the other people because they were too pious and holy to do so. Wasn't that foolishness? They lived quietly in a lonesome and desolate place where scarcely anyone ever came. They lived close to the Dead Sea. Now you know something about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. Remember it, because you will hear much more about them later.